Hey guys, you're listening to the most captivating podcast in iTunes. That's right, the Elite Man Podcast, where we turn average men into elite men every day. We interview the very best experts from the lifestyle, health, fitness, social, and even entrepreneurial worlds. And with their help, we give you some of the best advice on the planet. Subscribe now if you haven't already and enjoy the show. And oh yeah, if you really enjoy it, leave us a review. On today's episode, episode number 75, entitled Building a Relationship with Yourself, we chat with nationally acclaimed psychologist, Dr. Tracy Thomas. All right, guys, we're live. It's Justin Stenstrom from EliteManMagazine.com, and my guest today is Dr. Tracy Thomas. Dr. Tracy, what's going on?
Hey, Justin. I'm doing really well. I'm really excited to talk to your elite men of the world.
Thanks so much for coming on. I've got in contact with you recently, and ever since then, I've been kind of checking out your site and some of your content and stuff, and it's really, really, you know, very similar and aligned with the whole elite man concept I have as well. So I'm pretty pumped to bring you on.
Well, thanks, Justin. I that's one of the things I'm really appreciating about our new connection is, you know, this way in which people are evolving and how comprehensive it is. So I definitely think our collaboration can really serve our audiences and help people evolve in the way that they want to.
Yeah, I'm hoping so too as well. And like you said, it is really cool to get to collaborate. I mean, this is one of the best things about doing, you know, a podcast and having a site like this is you get to work with some of the, you know, coolest and interesting people in the world, really. I mean, just like, you know, coming across your site, I hadn't really known about it before, but, you know, recently I stumbled across it and it's just like, wow, this is so cool. Like all the, you know, stuff that you talk about is very much aligned and congruent with the, you know, ideas and beliefs that I have as well.
Well, thank you, Justin. I love being interviewed, and I look forward to doing it more because it's a real natural thing for me to answer questions sometimes more than just present things. But I love any question that comes my way and just really coming from my most intuitive place and seeing what happens. That's what's so fun to me.
Cool. So today I want to talk about the relationship with yourself and having that, you know, relationship with yourself before you can actually have relationships with other people and how that's connected and all that stuff. But before we sort of jump into that, can you just talk about what you sort of do on DrTracyInc.com? Like what is I know for the people who haven't, you know, checked it out, I mean, I got the chance to check it out recently, but for those of the people, you know, listening who don't necessarily know about what your work is, can you just give them a quick little sort of brief about what you do?
Definitely. So I'm the founder of DrTracyInc.com, and I train and lead a real, quite honestly, like kick-ass team of coaches. We make accessible online products for people to help them, you know, just make more meaningful and intuitive changes and choices and shifts in their daily life. And it's really helping people understand how everything we are and everything we do is connected. You know, I'm a doctor of psychology. I've had a private practice for a long time. I have learned so much and developed so much in terms of working with people and understanding what really helps them evolve and transform. So, you know, it's basically been a development for me to follow a path that had me realizing that, you know, the people that were in my practice were doing so well in their life. And I didn't want to keep that message. I wanted to be able to share it and have other people do this work with people. So, some of my clients have become coaches for me and then otherwise coaches that I train, you know, they go through a training process with me and then they're able to really do this really profound, transformational, but really fun and modern process. It's not so woo-woo. It's really practical, you know, with a lot of people. So this is really, I'm really living what feels incredibly intuitive, aligned with myself, and getting to talk about it is like, you know, like breathing to me. It's just, it just makes me feel in complete flow. So there's just a lot of different things that we offer on our site that are designed to help people, you know, at all levels, wherever they are. So whether it's the blog or online products or considering, you know, getting some more active support with us. There's just going to be a continual, you know, bunch of offerings that we do for years to come to really support people in what actually supports them. So it's cool. It's really exciting. So thanks for asking.
Yeah, no problem. I just wanted you know, our listeners to get more of a clear picture of sort of, you know, where you come from and what you're doing now. Tracy, so sort of jumping right into this topic of having a relationship with yourself, where is the best place to start with having a relationship with yourself? Like, what are, you know, people listening, what's the first step to really optimizing that relationship and really getting to, like, love yourself?
Thanks, Justin. That is the question that I think I get asked the most, and so I really wanted to share this with your audience because I think, you know, we're in such an amazing, mindful age at this point, and people still don't necessarily, like, some of these words that are very new age and developmental and consciousness oriented still are, you know, people aren't necessarily sure what they mean or what they might mean to them and how they might be applicable. And so it can seem sort of mysterious. I have a relationship with myself, and then people think they know what that means. And for me, where I come from and the way that I operate in my life, what's intuitive to me and what I share, teach, and then do with people in the support process is help them understand an entirely different relationship paradigm. And this extends to everything. So it's really a way of understanding how deeply powerful you are, that you are essentially a power center and a generator, and that you, in fact, I mean, everybody knows that they, you know, they can, they're thinking thoughts is an example, a real easy one. And you also can recognize that thoughts are being thought. So there is essentially this way of these, it's sort of like this objective entity kind of thing of understanding. It seems like there's two things going on, but it's really a way that you're a closed loop and you're sort of your own universe. So you can be thinking thoughts, and when you get somewhat conscious, you can know that you're thinking those thoughts. So you can be really objective with yourself. And essentially, the realization I want everybody to have is that you, in fact, are a self, and you're also able to have an awareness of a self. And so you're not, you know, essentially you're not alone. You're actually with yourself all the time. And to take that, like, all the way, like, down into the nitty gritty versus it just having to be, like, you know, just contextual. The reality is you've gotta have an attunement to yourself. You've gotta first know that that's the case. There's a way that you can practice really becoming aware of your own navigational system. And that's, you know, closer to intuition than I would say than it is to feelings. And feelings can kind of actually be quite confusing. But our navigation is the thing that sort of says, this is about how many hours you need per night of sleep for your particular, you know, it might be down to particular hours and minutes that are really who you are. It might be what kind of foods agree with you and what ones really fuel you. It might be what kind of energy you can be in and how much of it and how many days in a row and, you know, anything and everything, every little nuance of who you are and how your closed loop system of yourself operates and operates optimally or operates like less optimally, which would be sort of maybe stress or pain or less concentration or something. It's really getting in tune, and I have ways to help people do that, getting in tune and having like a real assessment of how you roll is sort of how I look at it, and how that might be evolving, you know, day to day through your life, that kind of thing. But when you really get a sense of it, you're actually getting connected to your natural design, you know, that you are, and what the way in which that design of yourself can be applied in the world, so that you're not even feeling like you're working. You're really just in a state of letting your own design do what it was meant to do, versus like fitting into some other version of how people are supposed to be. So it's like your own instruction manual that you're actually finally reading.
That's really interesting. I like, you know, a few of the things you said. In particular, I like the fact that you kind of said it's more of like yourself. You think of it as almost as like a separate person, but you're like getting connected with it. And that's really interesting as well. And before we sort of jump into some specific techniques for having that relationship with yourself and finding, you know, all the unique little aspects of everything that makes you you and optimizing that, what do you kind of think, or can you sort of elaborate a little further on, you know, the self being separate from yourself but connecting to that? I really like that concept.
Sure. It's interesting because on one hand, you know, again, I've learned this over time, like, how does this all work? And it's like we want to have people have that sense of it so you can sort of – you separate it so you get that it's there. You really – you go, you know, I don't know about you or your audience, but when I was younger, if something was happening, quote-unquote happening, it felt as real as anything. Like my friend didn't call me or what – you know, whatever. I didn't get invited to something or – my dad was mean to me, whatever these things were, it was like the movie's running and that's reality. And I don't know any differently. And as I became much more aware and tried to figure out how can I just be in peace and harmony with myself and enjoy life the way I feel like it's meant to be, there was a way, and I think Eckhart Tolle was a big influencer, as he has been for many people, about this sense of observation. So you want to have this way of knowing, like, there, yes, I can be objectively experiencing myself. And then at the same time, and this is what's so fascinating about the paradox of being human, at the same time, I really encourage people to then be integrated with that so that it's not a way of like being not present, but it's a way of really having enough of that awareness so that especially if you are cued for any sort of pain or stress, like an arousal thing would happen where ideally it can prompt you into like, let's check in, like let's have that objective, you know, like for me, I'd say, Tracy, what's up? You know, what's going on? Like I would have the third, and I did for years, I've like the third party conversation with myself, like Seinfeld, you know, what is Tracy like? What does Tracy want to do? And it got me, or actually Justin, I used to actually speak my thoughts out loud so I could have a much better way of realizing what was going across the assembly line. Yeah,
people probably thought you were crazy, but
it was like working at one of like the top treatment centers in the world, and I was still really wanting to be as conscious as possible. So I think, you know, I'd hear myself say something and then I could really be much more accurate with myself because again, if there's any particular stress prompt that somebody feels, that's a real signal to just have what Eckhart Tolle would call it, your objective observer, really check in. But it can be, to me, it's more fun than that. It becomes a practice so that you're basically walking around in a meditation like that all the time where you know yourself so well because you've checked in so much and you've started to get yourself down. So I think one of the biggest things people can do with this is begin to use the terminology that we're talking about today. Is that, you know, when I say myself, I think of those words as separate a little bit, like myself, like I've got this self that I'm working with. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that self word can really be just put into a certain framework so that you start to just have that make a connection for you about this self that you're taking care of and that you have as a vehicle to generate everything in your life.
Cool. I like that a lot. So what are some techniques to actually connecting with yourself? Like what are some specific sort of things you can do? You know, simple as like meditating or things like that. Do you have anything else in mind?
You know, there's quite a few things. And I think what I just mentioned to you is sort of one of the first stages that I did. And then in the ways that I learned that it worked best for clients over the years, you know, you've heard, be present and get present. And, you know, all of those things, of course. And that's a sense of a meditative type of way of being. And so that's in there for sure. But what that means to me and what it might mean to each person, it may be nuanced, but It is one of the pieces that I'll share with you, and then I've got a few more things that I think will be relevant for today. But that what that really means to me, it is sort of, again, an active process of, if you know, when I wake up every day, and I did this for quite a while to really inventory myself, and I also have clients really do a full inventory of themselves for maybe up to a month of really seeing their stuff. And so, you know, there's an awaken, there's a moment of awaken, there's a sense of checking in, what do I feel rested, how do I feel, what's there, you know, you get to know, now I know what the deal is, but you get a sense of what is it that's intuitive for you. My navigation says, for me, I am one of these people that wants, I actually have like a couple hours every morning to do a whole series of things that are not all that interesting and exciting, like having coffee, like making the coffee, like, you know, the amount of time that I need just to really come online and then let all these creative juices are flowing all day. But if I didn't understand that, I might have gone for years and years like I did in my 20s. And I had a job and I worked a schedule that was so not in line with myself that I actually learned through this assessment process, Justin, that I had been in a lot of pain and not really calling that pain. But it's why, like, I might have, you know, I was an emotional eater for years. And this is such the story of all these people that I work with. And I think it is for a lot of people that there's things going on you want to change, and you have try to use discipline, and these things are important, but really understanding the source of what's operating in you and what your unique being needs. And as I like to say, whether it's convenient or not, if I can get, you know, clear and get into the, get excited about that. Like, you know, I can really make a terrible story out of the fact that I need approximately 2 hours in the morning. You know, it's so crazy when I think, what is with this chick? You know, what's with her?
I'm kind of the same way, though. It takes me a while to get going.
But once it's like 10 o'clock and again, you know, what, there's just these ways of knowing, and people have some of a sense of this, but, you know, really getting like tomatoes work this way in my system, or I need this much magnesium, or, you know, like being at work doing these tasks, or what, it's so nuanced and specific. And I think that makes it really freaking interesting to explore those things. And when you can really inventory yourself, and by the way, we have an inventory in this ebook that we have online, and my clients all get it. I mean, I'm asking them to kind of go like minute to minute of times to just see what's up with themselves. And then we find these pain points, and then we find what's really flow and good. And what from there, when you really build your life around the infrastructure that you might not really realize is there, and you're trying to kind of go around it because society says, let's do this and you got to do that. You know, if you're a person that needs to only work 5 hours a day, but that 5 hours can be sustainable, consistent, you don't have a bunch of problems because you're working 10 hours a day and that does not suit your constitution, and maybe you're then drinking, and, you know, things that people do, Justin, that they end up having challenges that they don't realize are, again, they're rooted in something else that they might just need to understand about themselves and then really accommodate themselves that way. And it's a different life from there.
Yeah. So it's really just about pinpointing different things that you do and sort of self-reflection throughout the day, like finding every little sort of nuance that you do throughout the day and every little, you know, thing that, that you either take or that you're doing or that you're wasting your time doing, or anything specifically throughout the day, and just kind of breaking that down and seeing how it reacts with yourself and how it makes you feel.
Yeah, like you're literally your own system. And again, you're a power center. So you're generating, like I used to say, you know, I've been fortunate to be pretty successful in most ways in my life, but there were areas interpersonally where I wasn't when I was younger. And when I look back, I think I'm such a powerful generator. Like I could generate crap for myself and really, you know, or whatever I'm channeling, if I get myself and I'm channeling everything and having an infrastructure built around the infrastructure of this being, then it's all channeled in a certain way. And to your point, I just discovered this the other night, like you said about wasting time. I realized that with a certain person that my fiance and I visit in our family, who we love and we have so much fun, every time we set up this thing that's like we're going to hang out for 2 hours, it's always about 5 hours. And that's fine, but it's also not – it's like we want to build efficiencies in our life so we're not out of balance with things. And so I just had to like come to realize there's going to be something I need to do about understanding that that's really intuitive that that happens. But how do I want to work with that and be more efficient? Like, I don't know, do we need to set an alarm so that everybody will stop talking? You know, because then it goes into like how much sleep Tracy needs at night. So if I'm not on, if I'm not sort of working with those things in a way that I can use them for the greater good of me, I can also have my nature sort of not serve me. And it wouldn't be just that it doesn't serve me in and of itself. It's it related to all the other things. I really want them to all work together. And it's not about saying that's wrong or you're not disciplined, or it's about understanding. I love so much to be with people, but I also really love to sleep and I like to do this all sustainably, you know? So it just really makes you, it makes you a real strategic system with your ammo pointed where you want to point it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. It's just like sometimes you have to figure out whether things in your life are, you know, worth doing, or if you have time to do them, or even if you enjoy doing them, are they kind of interfering with your schedule and you know, what's going to make you happy at the end of the day? Like if that's eating away all your time, or if it's eating away your sleep, you know, for the next morning, and then making you tired for your next day, is that worth having in your life? If, you know, you plan to only see somebody for 2 hours, but it leads into 5 hours, it's like, well, you know, you got to kind of rethink, you know, that relationship or the time that you're kind of dedicating to that. And if it's good, obviously, and it's worth it, and, you know, you kind of, you enjoy it that much, then maybe it is a sacrifice worth doing. But if not, then it's probably something you have to rethink and kind of figure out.
Well, yeah, you want, it's about that sense of, I want to make more of the decisions rather than like this relationship with self thing is about, it's not, it's about not living like in the default pattern, because all relationships are patterns. You know, we grew up with parents who, they have a relationship with themselves, whether they knew that or not, and their relationship might have been that they didn't have one. And we end up adopting the pattern of what's around us. And then there's this blend of nature and nurture where there's a core us that's sort of in who we are evolving to be, but then we all know this, we can kind of repattern dynamics because it's a default thing. So when you understand something about yourself, which is really what we're talking about, and you recognize it, to me, everything was designed for human evolution. Like the way all these things naturally happen in our body and on the planet, it's really designed for, you know, again, for the, we're a microevolution, we're designed to evolve humankind. So when we know how those things work, I can say to myself, well, I know that why that is that I do this, this, and this. It's the same thing. I'm here to serve. I'm an evangelist. Of course, I'm so into just being with people and connecting. So that's going to show up in all areas. So then what I want to do is really, again, where do I want to use that? And then where do I want to refine it? So that I can really be clear about optimizing all of it and then know that I'm gonna, it'd be like if I was overeating. I want to really know that I can do more of that later because that's really who I am. I enjoy these things. And it's that getting out of a default and you having who you are really work for you, because otherwise, again, it can kind of work against you. And doesn't matter what you enjoy or not enjoy. It's like, how do you make you line up with what you feel is your path that is your purpose?
Hey guys, I'm happy to announce the Elite Man Conference tickets are now available. That's right. The Elite Man Conference will be this summer, August 5th through the 7th, in beautiful Plymouth, Massachusetts. We'll be covering everything from business advice, health, fitness, dating, men's fashion, self-defense, social skills, confidence, and so much more. And we'll be featuring up to 40 of the best self-development experts from around the world to teach you these incredible skills. Our speakers will include world-renowned life coaches, top-ranked business leaders, legendary fitness experts, best-selling authors, world champion athletes, and so many others. Some of our speakers include Victor Ortiz, Dr. Stephen Cabral, Scott McKay, Jason Troy, Andrew Fierby, Kimberly Seltzer, Ted Rice, Sean Russell, and many other incredible thought leaders. Tickets are on sale right now, but they'll be periodically going up as the event gets closer, so make sure you grab your seat right now. You don't want to miss this 3-day life-changing experience. Again, that's EliteManConference.com. Make sure you check it out right now and reserve your seat. Not only will you guarantee your seat at the conference, but you'll also be guaranteeing yourself the best and cheapest deal on tickets. EliteManConference.com, guys. All right, back to the show now.
What are your thoughts on sort of getting anxious or anxiety and things like that? Does that sort of interfere with the relationship you can have with yourself? I mean, I'm big on just kind of living in the moment and sort of not worrying about the future or the past and things like that as well. I'm sort of an Eckhart Tolle fan as well. But also, yeah. anytime I've ever gotten, anxious or panic attacks, I kind of go with it. And I've just, I have this little technique that I kind of teach clients about and talk about quite frequently. And that's really just going with the anxiousness or anxiety and fully embracing it. It's kind of like riding a roller coaster where you, I used to hate roller coasters, but I know how to ride them now because I as much as it is scary still for the first moment or two when you get on it or before it's about to take off, when you fully embrace it, you start yelling and screaming and putting your hands up and just living in the moment. And, the fear of the roller coaster itself goes away. The people who kind of shy down or crawl up like I used to do on roller coasters are the people who hate them most or hate the ride and the experience most. But if you can actually, put your hands up and yell and scream and just fully be present in that moment, as crazy as it is or as scary as it is, the anxiousness or the panic goes away. And that's kind of how I embrace anxiety or panic attacks or any sort of fears that I get. But I just kind of want to know your thoughts on this as well, because it's kind of seems like a related topic.
It really does, Justin. I love the roller coaster analogy. I'm using that. I'm stealing that, by the way. It's interesting. I often say to my team, and I've said to myself years, I could make an entire career out of just working with people's anxiety or sharing with the world, how to deal with it would be what how other people would say, but I'd be much more in alignment with how to let it inform you and then ultimately prompt you into connection with yourself. And so it's been different. There were years where I'm a trained psychologist, so all of the modern cognitive behavioral therapeutic techniques are in my repertoire, and they live as an eclectic kind of thing that I do with myself and other people. Mm-hmm. But it's so much more integrated at this point, and it's more it's more in alignment with what you're saying about it's like not this sense of resisting what's going on, which is the self is giving you a signal. That's what I love about a relationship with self. It's giving you a signal. It's asking you to check in. And I love that our design, again, it works for us, but that's a great example. Like, you can end up in the ER with a panic attack because it's working against you and you don't have a connection to how it's working for you. It just seems like something's happening to you, which is terrifying. And again, people go to the ER thinking they're having a heart attack. That's how, mm-hmm. like, really serious it can be.
Yeah.
And there is this way of not understanding that there was probably a buildup to it, and there were signals being given. And it can often be, this is why this connection with self, this is the answer, Justin. What you're talking about is the answer to the question of what's the downfall of not having a relationship with yourself. And what it will be is that even if you're not tuning in, yourself knows what's best for you and what it needs, and it will kick your ass trying to get your attention for you. Like, it is so smart. You cannot override our design and the way it wants you to tune in. So, you know, some the kind of thing you're talking about, like the roller coaster thing, and been there, done that. You know, there is something. The last time I had a real anxious moment that I think was like, I thought, holy moly, this is going there, and I'm somebody that helps people with this, and it was this funny covert thing of. My side job, Justin, is competitive ballroom dancing, and I was about to do a competition within the week, and something was not right about it. Like, I was angsting. I was like, I didn't want to do it, but I didn't want to not do it. So I kept wanting to want to do it, but because I prepared and all this stuff, but there was something that was saying. Like I didn't want to listen to my navigation that was like, you don't even need to know why. Just, it's not for you this weekend. You're supposed to be you're supposed to be doing something else. And 3-4 days went by, and I'm telling you, it literally amped itself up to me feeling like then I didn't have control over it. And I remember, fortunately, I'm so objective with myself that I was able to be like, here I am on a roller coaster and I would like to get off. But the point being is that myself was trying to signal. So once you've ignored your real navigation, I think what you're talking about is a great way to say, I took myself for a ride a bit without really knowing what I'm needing. And now it's taken me for a ride to be clear that it's not down with this program and it's got some information. And so I love what the work you're doing and helping people get to see, you know, again, what's going on? What's this roller coaster about? What is the messaging being given? Then again, then it's just back to like the way that yourself works for you. So we're really in alignment with that. And I would say that the way to sort of, if you aren't interested, you know, in a lot of roller coaster rides, then you may. What I really feel is that when I'm able to get people that I work with and our people with our audience to know themselves on the level that I'm talking about, and then lead their life from that sense of self-assessment and understanding your needs and everything. When you are in alignment with that, anxiety and all this stuff, it just doesn't come on the radar because you are in such a flow with your own design. But if you kind of like play in the nooks and crannies of that and kind of get, you know, I work the edges occasionally, you are likely to, you know, work. It's sort of like creating some cumulative effect that you're going to have some sort of a mood issue or some sort of a you'll ultimately, what it is, Justin, is you're just ultimately feeling disconnected from yourself, and now it's going to shake you up. So I think I want to encourage everybody to not override who they are so that their system doesn't need to sort of, you know, just get them on track and have them do, you know, I'm sure after a panic attack, most people kind of reassess, you know, and get some clarity. So you can be proactive so that you don't have to be reactive as a person.
Absolutely. And like you kind of mentioned earlier, you know, you get these things, like, I think I agree with you, you know, everything sort of comes from an evolutionary standpoint. Like, we have anxiety for a purpose. We have panic for a purpose. It's like survival.
Yes.
You know, it's a survival mechanism at the end of the day, you know, at the heart of it, it really is. And, you know, if you go camping or something and, you know, there's a bear and the bear comes up to your tent, I mean, it's right to have anxiety or panic in that moment in time. I mean, that's perfectly accepted, and you absolutely should have panic or anxiety in that moment in time. It's going to save your life. You're either going to, you know, run out of there and jump in your car and screw off and be safe, or you're going to, you know, grab a gun or a weapon or something and try to fight the bear off if that's your last resort. But if you had no anxiety or no panic, you would just, you know, be eaten alive because you wouldn't even have the thought or the sort of reaction to just get up and make a move. So, I mean, it has its place absolutely, especially as an evolutionary kind of mechanism. I just think in this day and age, in this point in time, it kind of is over exaggerated with all the, you know, stresses that we face from day to day life. You know, we have traffic, or we're rushing to work, or we don't want to be late, or we don't want to upset somebody. And it really can take over our lives and sort of run amok if we don't get a clear understanding of what it is, and sort of like you're talking about here, like yourself, and if it's valid or not, if the anxiety is valid or if the panic's valid. And if it's not, which in a lot of cases it's not, it's really, if you know, you really have to get a hold of it and kind of shut it down.
Yeah, you really have to, what I call, you know, contain yourself in this way that you are a system, and if it's sort of, it's feeling out of control, it's a containment issue. And I'm with you. I don't know, you know, which God, whatever force of nature designed the system that to do what it does. And, you know, it's blinking my eyes, ovaries are doing things, and livers are, like, I love that this system works, and it can, you know, make the back of the hairs on your back of your neck stand up, because you can feel something energetically in the environment. Even if the bear's not in your face, you can feel things like that. But I think there is so much in this day and age, there's so much of survival fear in every day. And I've referred to this for years as everyday PTSD. And you know, we've taken what our ancestors had as real things that they had to sort of, you know, be alerted by and check in. And now I still like that the alert system kind of checks in and says, you got your shit together? Okay, great. Or is there, you know, a way you're not, and how can you help yourself? But I think the bulk of the anxiety, a lot of it these days, is coming from the way we are so out of touch with ourselves, and we are doing so much more because it's such an exciting time. I mean, it's just, we're so into everything, but you can then sort of suffer from, this is another thing I talk about, like lean in syndrome, which is, if you are doing so much, even if it's things you love, there's still a way which your nervous system is not evolved enough yet. Like whatever we know consciously, like what we're talking about today, we can feel like we're 20 years ahead and we get things on this conceptual level. But our being, our container, this physical container, is still evolving. It's evolving at a lower rate, at a slower rate than what our intelligence is evolving at. And so we still are subject to like the nervous system and what it's used to. And if we're pushing, and you kind of ignoring those cues, you will then, again, it will give you anxiety in this way that is sort of signaling. But then the other part that I think is creating a lot of like real trauma for people that haven't had an event trauma is that what you're, like the language and everything that people are, you just said about rushing to work. It's like, I don't use the word late anymore. I don't need that kind of, you know, if I'm going to be somewhere I'm supposed to be there at 9, I will say to myself, I'm going to be there at 9:15, or I'll text somebody and say, be there at 9:15. I never use this language that really prompts my nervous system to be on alert, feel, you know, tips the adrenaline, uses that up. So that's another important part of the relationship with self, and my joking about, you know, talking to yourself a certain way. It's really important to use accurate language, and don't let yourself get away with things that you think your sort of your subconscious isn't tuning into. Like if I let myself speak inaccurately about something, you know, that I'm interpreting, rather than just, you know, like I, maybe in an example, I could say the person, you know, Joe drove the car, and those are the facts that I can know. I can't know the rest of the narrative and the emotional projection onto it. But if I stay with the facts and what I can know factually, accurately, and I use my language that way, my subconscious is not getting a lot of clues that build up telling it, it's like, you know, we're late, we're off, we're behind, you know, we're not doing enough for people, or it just will build up and you won't be in alignment with yourself. And then you'll have an event or a moment like that, which takes you even more off track. So I'd really rather have people stay in connection and tracking with themselves, because You're going to be further down the road in life of where you want to be if you stay a course that works for you rather than kind of doing it, getting off of it, resetting all the time. It's not as efficient.
Mm-hmm. That's really cool. I like also the point you made about sort of our internal processes being so much underdeveloped in our mind and our intelligence, our intellect. It's a really great point that I think a lot of people overlook. It's like, you know, we've had this for, I don't know, 100,000 years now, you know, the same process inside basically that, you know, cavemen had.
Yeah.
You know, our minds are so much more developed, obviously, since that time. But at the end of the day, you know, we still kind of have the same hardware inside of us, even though the software is so much more updated. But yeah, that's a good kind of point to think about as well.
It's a bummer, and yet, you know, yeah, we figure how long does this stuff take? Cells are adapting, things are happening, but I can't seem to get around it. So again, I'm going to work with it and enjoy my mind evolving and my energy. But then I'm really going to be a realist about what this body, right, what this physical being needs, even though I think as I'm really evolving the other things, I'm literally a micro evolution, like having my body get more on board with the rest of myself, and then vice versa, like let my body use its wisdom and then have the rest of myself, you know, again, be down with that program, because I can't change the hardware right now, but it's upgrading super slowly in human time.
Yeah. Any other sort of tips or techniques you can think about for really getting in touch with yourself? Like something that comes to mind for me is like exercising, or I'm kind of a hypnosis person. I do self-hypnosis from time to time. Yoga. Do you have any sort of techniques you can think of as well?
Justin, yeah, there's a lot of different things. I think there's a few that come to mind, and I'll start with the one about that is related to what you asked. And for me, an example is, and again, I do this with clients, and I've learned this over time, apropos human time. For years, I would, you know, just athlete, all these sports through school, college, marathoning most of my adult life, really pushing and doing sort of the real traditional exercise. And there was maybe 4 or 5 years ago now, here was the thing about connecting to myself. And even though I had all the benefits, like who can argue with the benefits? I was in shape. I'm sure I had a lot of heart health. I was fit, but I wasn't as happy as I knew I was dispositionally like designed to be. And so for me, and this has got to be really unique to each person, really made a decision about the concept of sort of like, I'm actually in pain. Like the benefits of this marathoning and running as a real regimented part of my life, going to the gym, like I got to go to another office, so to speak, and another job. I really tuned into what I thought my body actually really wanted to do. And I said to myself, what if I was not going to be deathly afraid that I would be ugly and out of shape and then later be like mad at my previous self for not being this, you know, fitness person? And I just thought to myself, well, I think I might actually enjoy life a little bit more. And I'm pretty sure this body is designed to really be adaptive to what it's telling me it needs anyway. And, you know, yoga would be the obvious thing that a lot of people do, but I really went into yoga in a different way. And it was about understanding that I just wanted to build my like my own protocol with myself. And what did this body and its body type and different parts of it need based on what I'd been through in my life and what I'd been doing? And the answer was a lot more expansiveness and flexibility, and it was more slow and it was more present. And so, you know, a simple thing that people can do is develop, even in your own home, you could call it a stretching program or a yoga program. I really call it a personal alignment program, because aligning with myself also means this inventory I'm talking to you about. I mean, like, to know every inch of me as well as I can. And in doing different stretches that, like, are, you know, people been doing when they've been doing sports and yoga type stretches or poses, if you want to call them that, I have learned so many different things about, you know, how my hands are structured and the length of my arms and the way my shoulders, they want to get involved in everything. And that's really stressful. They like have a big auto response. Learning about ways I was walking that I didn't understand and standing. I mean, so why I'm sharing you with this with you is that there's a whole nother level of self-awareness. And then like, I've never been in better shape. I've never been lighter, freer, happier, doing less or doing more with less is what's really going on. Wow. And so I just would want people to find a way that they can, in their repertoire of their life with themselves, that they can know themselves to this degree so that, you know, like as I'm standing here with you now, as I'm talking with you now, I'm doing it at a standing desk and I'm actually practicing a lot of my alignment and I'm, you know, that kind of thing really, again, it makes it very efficient. And it may not surprise you, Justin, to know that the more aligned I am with my body, the more aligned I am with myself, so vice versa. And I've never been more flexible in my body. And here's the deal. I've never been more flexible as a person. And so, you know, it means just really addressing all of these aspects of yourself. And I guess I would call that like having it come again from your navigation, kind of telling you what you might need versus what everybody else is doing, what you think you should be doing, and it's easier than you think it is.
I really love, you know, a lot of the things you said right there, and I'm really jealous that you have a standing desk. I want to get one actually.
That's so,
that's so cool. I didn't even realize it. That's so cool though. I mean,
I don't have to do ab work, Justin.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I just, you know, sit on my desk, you know, my computer working on the website or on the podcast and just doing different things, and it'll be hours before I stand up, and it's like, wow, what the heck am I doing? I like, my butt is like sore just from sitting down. It's like, you know, I really have to get one of those things. And then, you know, sometimes I've been consciously trying to like get up and like move around or like do some squats and just kind of, you know, get active for like a couple minutes, and then I'll, you know, sit back down again and get back to work. But, you know, standing desk is really cool.
It's like some part of you is cueing yourself for that, but you know, we can get into things, again, we can really get into things we love, but there's still a way of figuring out how do we marry that with what we need and what, like, I really feel like I'm probably not going to be like an 80-year-old lady, like, stooped over. I'm going to at least be standing on my own self. And I imagine that if I'm 80 and not slouched over, I'll probably feel more stable as a person at 80 and, you know, all these different things that really can challenge people throughout the lifespan. And I will tell you, Justin, I mean, I started this, some of this stuff in my 40s, most of it in my late 20s, early 30s. But it's like the instruction manual that nobody ever gave you about, you know, I didn't know there was a way we're supposed to be walking. So, you know, I'm in the know and I want to share it. And so, you know, again, I think the other part of that I would say, I've said this term navigation, but I will say that what was really a game changer for myself, and I'm so glad I know this now, is that I really encourage everybody to tune into what their navigation is versus feelings and how to differentiate that. Because a lot of times, like what we do or don't do, things that we say we want to do for ourselves or we actually might feel intuitive about doing, but we're talking also about like, I really want to check in with my feelings and I want to be there for myself. It can be really freaking confusing to understand the difference. And your navigation is really your real self. And feelings are the ones that I would refer to as like, they're the pattern kind of emotions. And they're not necessarily very helpful. So even if you're saying joy, like, of course, who wouldn't want that? That to me is still like a navigational sense of like feeling resonance with something. Navigation is the layer that is the most true, and it's like, this is how I would roll if I could. Feelings come from behaviors that we've done and things around us and the atmosphere and the perception we have of things that we may want to go do or not do. And feelings are very confusing. They're not, they're supposed to be informative, but because they're sort of cycled in the way that the people that we grew up around, they had it, and then our ancestors had it. And again, as you said, this is all survival stuff cycling up to check on you versus a navigation that says, you know, I need some more hugs. I need a nap. I need stimulation. I want to go to a concert and I really want to feel music and dance. You know, I want to talk versus listen, or what, you know, whatever these things are. Really, I want everybody to think about differentiating between these layers that come up, and this is a sense of true relationship with self. Your navigation will not steer you wrong. Your feelings can, because they are not the same. And that is how people like end up walking down the aisle, you know, getting married, when something in them knows that no matter how much they might love this person, that there's something that isn't actually aligned. And, you know, again, feelings and all that, very confusing. I want everybody to think about navigation and let that, your own compass, help you know where to go, how to do things, and where not to go.
I love that. It's a kind of a great way to sort of wrap things up here. And I also loved, you know, the fact that you said you're in the best shape of your life despite working a lot less, which is incredible too. I mean, that kind of actually reminded me of, you know, like high intensity training. I don't know if you've ever heard of that, but it's basically just training. I mean, it's actually referenced even in like the 4-hour body. But I'm thinking of guys like Drew Bay and, you know, trainers like that who, you know, work half hour, like a full body workout for, you know, either once a week or once every couple weeks. And they hit like everything they need to hit. And, you know, the rest of it is just resting up. And that's what your body needs. And that's what your body, or, you know, his body was telling him when he kind of first stumbled upon it. And he's had, you know, incredible gains with his clients and personally, and, you know, he's one of the best sort of trainers in the world. But it all comes down to, he cut out, like, you know, he works out like 10 times less than everybody else and still sees like the same comparable results. And it's kind of, you know, reminded me of that, of what you're talking about, you being in the best shape and, you know, not even really doing all these like crazy marathons or anything anymore.
It's like, Justin, it's so freeing, and I know we need to wrap up, and I'm so glad that you're keying into these things, because I thought I was going to live my whole life like working on the hamster wheel on everything, and that just didn't sound exciting, and it didn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to me that we're designed, even though you and I can agree we're evolving at a slower rate physically than we are psychologically and spiritually, but it doesn't make sense that this design isn't efficient, and there's ways to know how it runs efficiently, and then again, let that adaptive process happen. So my whole gig of me, it now knows that I do this much and in this way, and so all my hunger cues are different, and it, you know, it recalibrated itself over a period of a year to understand this is what we're doing, and we're not doing 3 hours a day, and we're all afraid of that and everything, but it really was about trusting myself, and that whoever made this deal of me, you know, there is not, that it works. Like, there's no mistakes on the assembly line. It works as it's supposed to, and it's supposed to help me be optimal. So I've got, that's why that tune in and wanting everybody to really, to really see how they work, so they can be really optimal and their potential and everything, and it's just so much more fun and cool.
it totally is. Tracy, is there any last send-off message you'd like to leave our audience, and then also a place that they can check you out?
Absolutely. So I would just say again, know that anything at all, anything in life that you feel like stressed about or discontented about, relationships, that it always, always, always comes back to you as the power center. And I don't mean that there aren't people out there that, like, what's going on also is all about them and what's going on with them, but that's their business. That when you can evolve yourself in the relationship with yourself and check in with why you're feeling why you're prompted to have a certain feeling, or what your navigation is telling you, or, and if somebody can even be in your universe, on your planet, speaking your language, and they're aligned with you or not, you know, they can grow with you at the same kind of rate and parallel, those are your people. And so If something isn't working and you've looked at these things, then it may not be for you. And so to tune into what is for you, about you, and again, how all of that makes sense, because the way we always tune into like what's not working and all, we put so much attention to things that are not aligned rather than really the strengths-based approach of always coming back to the relationship with yourself. And there's nothing that you cannot accomplish and do through that, this vehicle, this generating vehicle, this evolutionary entity. And just explore that. And if anybody you know, wants to get more information about how much fun we're having, roll on over to drtracyinc.com. And that is, you know, drtracyinc.com. We're going to keep adding lots of information like this. And, you know, same type of thing that Elite Man is doing to really help people live the way they want and have it just be enjoyable and have consciousness be really cool. So I hope to see you guys. And I'm so glad to get to know you, Justin, and to really meet the audience at Elite Man.
Thanks, Dr. Tracy. Again, guys, it's Dr. Tracy. incincorporated.com, drtracyinc.com. Dr. Tracy, thanks again for coming on our show. I know our guys are really going to love this episode, and you know, there's some really fantastic advice in it. So thanks again and take care.
I love it. Everything you're saying, I mean, I feel like, yes, we could like go on all topics about being human. So I will just say, yeah, if it's, you know, keep me in mind if anything comes up. I really, your questions just teach me a lot. And help me feel like I'm doing what I'm here to do. So it was a lot of fun.
All right, guys. I hope you enjoyed that episode. But before you go, there's one last thing I need you to do. I need you to subscribe to this podcast right now if you haven't already. By subscribing, you get every single episode completely free. That's right. Get all of our best interviews with the best experts from the lifestyle, health, fitness, social, and entrepreneurial worlds absolutely free. Don't miss out on any one of our captivating and exciting shows. Subscribe now and get the Elite Man podcast anytime and anywhere. And yes, if you get a chance, leave us a glowing review about how much you love the show and how awesome we are. All right, guys, that's it. Until next time, take care.